good to go.
Ready.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And of course, we are in season three. So I do invite you to have a look at the two previous seasons. There might be some topics there that relate to your reality right now, and they're kind of timeless. So go ahead and have a look. We're going to jump right in today. I have a great guest. We're going to be talking about very relevant right now, and we need to start having these conversations because we do have a responsibility towards it. I have Yesenia Reynoso with me today from Why Communicate. I have a media person who's going to be talking about how the media and communication and their responsibility towards everything that's going on right now. So I'm going to put the spotlight on her. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really do appreciate having you on the show.
Hello, and thank you, Danielle, for being here. I'm very excited to accompany you and your audience today.
Before we get started on this pretty complicated topic, can you kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are today?
Sure. So I am currently the founder and principal owner of Why Communicate, which is a small communications firm that establishes and maximizes a brand reputation and voice through in-house corporate communications. So we are essentially the in-house corporate communications department. We have a heartbeat of a department, we have a mindset of a department. We are an in-house corporate communications department, and that philosophy stems from the practically 15 years of working in corporate America, specifically in in-house communications departments, working from senior executives, shareholders, board of directors to general public, so internal and external audiences, focusing on the many different aspects within the corporate communications umbrella, ranging from media relations to public affairs and government, nonprofit communications, crisis comms, and so much more.
Yeah, and you mentioned it there because a lot of the times when people talking about communication, they think media right away or PR, but there's so much more to it, and that's why I just enjoy having you on because there's so many things that we could do. How did you kind of pivot towards this? So you have a very important message about, being critically aware of what we're seeing and what is being put out there, and media literacy. So can you talk to us a little bit on how you got to expand on that a little bit more?
Sure. So obviously, coming from the world of corporate communications, there is one thing that intersects the actual the compilation of messaging through the actual dictation of it, and that is storytelling. Storytelling sits very much sits at the intersection between the formation of your message and then eventually how you tell the story and how it gets amplified into the masses. And so corporate communications basically sits at the intersection of storytelling, media literacy, and artificial intelligence, which has become such a huge topic, not only within the communications industry itself, but also across all other business sectors. So if you cannot verify it, you cannot amplify it. And that is, and that concept is something that we practically preach, not only if you work in-house, but also on the agency level as well. And so, because storytelling is such a critical aspect of corporate communications, for me, it was practically a no-brainer, to start delving more into, what makes a good story. What makes people want to listen, and more importantly, how can you persuade people based out of your story? And diving and going in much deeper, that's when I realized that the storytelling centers around the why. The why is the heartbeat of every story. It's why we communicate in the first place, whether it's one-on-one or through a massive audience. We communicate because we have a story to tell, and it is through that story is where not only we become educated and inspired, but also ultimately persuaded. And so that is where, to me, corporate communications really transmits its power. And then basically, through that through that concept, storytelling then enters into the story doing phase. Storytelling is story doing, and most of the time it's transmitted through the media. And because we live in a major information-based society, it's really important now that people understand as to how the media operates, why they operate the way that they do, and more importantly, how do we consume that content.
That's such an important, yes. I could, this is where we were talking off camera as well about how we'd have to do multiple episodes. But I want to keep it because you just mentioned there is like, well, how do we consume this? How do we, what, how do, generally speaking, for parents, they themselves struggle in trying to sort out what the information that they're getting, the stories that they're hearing. But how can you start talking to our kids about what they hear? And kind of get start from there, maybe to if you have some pointers on how we can help our kids trying to decipher what it is that they're hearing and figure out what's happening there.
So I think we need to go back first into what has been the current corporate communications landscape, because if I'm being poignant, obviously it's a 24/7 news cycle, but it's extremely oversaturated with so much information, whether it's verifiable facts to unfortunately misinformation, disinformation, and falsehoods. And so it has we have become so consumed of it practically because of technology, the acceleration of it. And so now people practically get to consume all different types of information literally within the palm of their hands within 3 seconds. Beforehand, with history, most of the time people consume their news, whether it's through newspapers, radio, and then eventually transition onto television. But there were also policies on from the government level, such as the Fairness Doctrine, that basically put structures and protocols in place, especially for news outlets to to be neutral in the middle. When it comes to them informing audiences, the many different types of news that we that has been consumed. But because of the elimination of that Fairness Doctrine, now we're seeing a lot more unrestricted free rein among the news outlets. Everything now has become very opinionated based and also heavily narrative based. And now, when many people consume media, most of the time it's not clearly dictated to towards a neutral mutual understanding. Instead, depending as to the outlet, their philosophies and values, most of the time the information can be distorted. And it's through that distortion where where the organization or the outlet basically then formulates a narrative. And it is through that narrative they're then going to transmit it to audiences. And so the information that we consume on a daily basis is not properly checked and also not properly dissected. Because most of the time when you consume many different types of media, especially if it's a falsehood or misinformation. Misinformation or disinformation spreads approximately from a study back in as far back as 2018. Falsehoods, I should say, spread six times as much than the truth. And now, with the way how society has been built nowadays, most of the information that is seen is mainly due to two reasons why they do this: is due to ratings or for profit. Now bringing it up to speed as to now what about today's standards for families, and not only that, but also for the educational and academic institutions. Families and schools are ground zero for attention, safety, and trust. And because of that, the policy is starting to catch up now, given the fact that more people are becoming more critically aware as to the kinds of information that they're consuming, the tools and resources that are needed to combat this, but more importantly, the urgent need, especially for children, to start paying more attention and going back to the basics. With, in other words, simple one-on-one interactions, to much more comprehensive, deeper research as to what media literacy is, the best tactics to how to decipher different types of information, and more importantly, to develop the critical thinking skills that are necessary to formulate proper perspectives when consuming many different types of information.
Yes. Oh my goodness, you're saying so much there. That is so important. There is a responsibility, I think, for parents and teachers, and we get kind of bombarded with so much information now, and it's going so fast that you don't necessarily have time to start filtering it. But what would, I guess I could start right, like, 'cause I want to ask you, what's the first thing parents or teachers can do to have, start having these conversations with children? But I want to know from your perspective, because you've been in the in this game for so long, or 15 plus years, what is your definition of media literacy? A lot of people see it so differently, and as parents, we or we may not we may be missing on some things. What does media literacy mean to you, and what should we be looking for?
So to me, my definition of media literacy is having the concrete understanding to decipher facts from falsehoods through proper critical thinking techniques. And so the way as to how you decipher media in the many years that I have worked in communications, I've had an understanding. Many people don't realize that the communications departments are the ones who are responsible for the formulation of messaging.
Right.
We're the ones who are behind the scenes. So whenever the general public listens to a spokesperson talk about a specific message, 9 out of 10 times they automatically assume it comes from the actual person itself. But what they don't realize is that there is an army behind that person. There is a communications team that that trains, that cultivates and eventually distributes the kind of messaging that needs to be said to the public. So we base so unless if the speaker, him or herself, has the capability to charm the audience without the need of a communications individual and communicate effectively, most of the time, again, whether you work at an organization or at an agency, they rest assured there is a communications team right behind that person. And so we're the ones who are responsible, again, to ensure that the message that is being said to the public is the way that it needs to be said. It needs to be clear, concise, and direct. And
Right.
most of the time, because communications has to have a seat in the table, and it's good to see from a communication standpoint that now the industry in itself is getting the recognition. The much needed recognition that we need, that it deserves, because we are the ones who not only make you look good, but we make you sound good as well. And so it is because of that, because of that concept, many parents may not realize, that behind every good speaker there is a communications coach or manager that can secretly be behind the ear and telling the speaker, say this, say that, or there are many different there are many different formats, from that standpoint.
Right. That's just important, because some of them are so good at communicating and getting the message out that you don't realize that some of it has been scripted, or there it was controlled in a way in terms of what information comes out. And it's so important for kids as well, who are so easily influenced, to realize that there was an intention behind the message, whether it came out ad-libbed or scripted. There's an intention there, and this is where that critical awareness is so important. I love hearing that directly from somebody who is in it, because there's so many different views on how media or how communication shared. So I think it's really
Yeah,
important.
absolutely. Yeah. And in the book, I ended up describing, from dictionary.com what media literacy is, which is the ability to critically analyze the content created and consumed in various media, including television, radio, internet, and social media for accuracy, credibility, or evidence of bias.
Right.
And so, according to the National Association for Media Literacy Education, which was a 2023 study, the primary functions of media literacy are access, analysis, evaluation, creation, and action. So therefore, from an educational standpoint, media literacy is supposed to be empowering individuals to navigate the ever-changing landscape of news and communications. And so when you talk about storytelling from a corporate communications standpoint, I think now it needs to be said that proof beats polish. And so when you start building stories based on verifiable assets, that is where you're going to be able to cement your credibility. And be able to dis and once you cement yourself as a credible source, then you'll be able to disclose wherever is relevant. Especially now more than ever, the importance of establishing yourself as a transparent, credible, reliable source, one that is authentic and genuine when transmitting messages, needs to be discussed, and more importantly, implemented more, especially with the emergence of artificial intelligence.
Oh my goodness, that's such a good point. Yes, to know exactly where the source is coming from and if it was actually backed up or just right generated. Oh my goodness, that's a whole other that's a whole other topic. I want to ask questions, but I'm going to hold back because we're going to take an entire different turn. But you did mention your book. Can you talk to us a little bit about your book and where we can access it as well?
Sure. So I happen to have the book right here. Hopefully, you get to see it, but I'll send the link so that way your
Yes.
audience members can not only access it but purchase it. But yes, I had the opportunity to co-author a book alongside with 11 other incredible educators, which is called Educational Luminaries: Triumphing Over Systematic Hurdles, and which talks about the reforming or overhaul of the U.S. Educational system, which we can all clearly say right now it's in my opinion, is in desperate need of an overhaul altogether. The main thing is addressing what are those systematic root failures of the system, and how can we uproot it and be able to deliver tangible solutions to better improve, enhance, and more importantly, create the accessibility needed for all U.S. children, and not only U.S. children, but it's international as
Yeah.
well. Everybody to be able to get the high quality education that they all so deserve, because that is how society, unleashes its potential, is through education. And so in that book, I had the opportunity to write about media literacy and introducing people not only to, or re I better say, reintroducing the concept of media literacy and the role that corporate communications plays in it. Because the truth of the matter is that coming from the communications world, we have a responsibility to step up to the plate and actually become teachers and educating families as to what the role communications does when it comes to messaging, branding, and other key areas within marketing and communications, and how does that affect the everyday consumption of content across all platforms.
Right. Oh, that's amazing. What would be the I was how to say, what are the steps to get started if whether you're an educator or a parent or anybody, even just for your own personal media consumption, but what are the steps to get started in reintroducing that or in getting it critically aware of what we're hearing and how to process all that information?
Sure. So obviously the first step, like in every, in every single structure that needs to be constructed. I definitely think parents and families need to have a deeper understanding and understanding media literacy, obviously through research and reading, whether it's through books or finding verifiable outlets that discuss media literacy in depth. There are plenty of organizations, that talk about media literacy extensively, from the amount of content that young children consume on a daily basis to the academic programming, and as well, whether it's from educational or from a professional slash business standpoint. That is where I think families can get a much better, a better understanding, check the about, verify the sources before training. And then also, there's a lot of free civic online lessons for young children and for teenagers. So, and that is then that is readily accessible through again verifiable organizations that discuss media literacy or through your local library. And then obviously, another way for parents is obviously there are also apps, that focuses on the actual research and verification of news outlets that allows readers to figure out which outlet and the direction they're leaning their narrative. Because right now, here, especially here in the United States, it's all about left, right, center. It takes all of the outlets, all of the information that they have, and then they analyze it, and then they will determine whether it's left leaning, right leaning, or center. So that way, it will allow you to have a better understanding as to how, like what is the primary narrative of that story, and allows you to decipher it even more.
That's impressive, actually, just to see. Yeah, you're getting the information, but which point of view are you getting? That is so important as
We
well.
could for parents nowadays, many of these technologies are building up many different types of features within the phones where they can regulate the content and how much and how long the child can stay on the phones before it automatically shuts off. That is an option. But I think if there is anything that based out of my personal experience, I think parents need to go back to the old-fashioned dynamics. With in other words, instead of having your child consume their information through an iPhone, iPad, or any technology, I say put limits on how long they utilize their portable devices and have them go back to maybe reading books or having them go and having one-to-one interactions with students, go back and actually start developing a start developing friendships, start for kids to be kids basically. And now we're starting to see schools now putting like these regulations where now especially for those I think in middle school to high school, definitely we're starting to, especially I know in New York, in the state of New York, they started, and now I think Jersey now is going, New Jersey, the state of New Jersey is going to be on it. Now teenagers have to now put the phones into a pouch. It gets closed, and then they cannot access it until the end of the day. Those are some of the new policies, that they're planning to do. But I think for parents, and then also for for educators, just going back and readapting the old-fashioned tactics of of one-to-one interactions, can really help people start steering away from technology, and more importantly, start being more critically aware of their surroundings.
I think that's so important. And even just like you said, the one-to-one interaction between the parent and the child to start talking about what do you think they're saying in the
Yeah,
story, or what do you think, or
absolutely.
even the parents trying to stay neutral in certain aspect, but explaining
Yeah.
what they're actually hearing. I think it's so important. Just then just to let your child just run free and
Yeah,
try to figure it out for themselves.
absolutely. Your child right now is a sponge, and they consume so much information. But that's why it's important to have healthy family dynamics. It's okay for parents to have to have these conversations and to have an understanding as to a diverse world of opinions. Because as much as we want to consume content and certainly believe that this is the right way, it's not like that. We need to have open dialogue and a healthy discourse, because there are plenty of perspectives that respectfully we may not agree with, but it's important for us to have an understanding in order to develop the critical thinking techniques that we need to formulate a global perspective.
Yeah, no, I really, I so appreciate that you shared that, because it is so important to have a more rounded look at what's happening, even though you may, through your values and your beliefs, you're looking at it a certain way, but it's important to show our children that they may see it a different way, and that's okay as well. Just because it's different doesn't mean it's wrong, right?
And I also want to add something as well from a policy standpoint for schools. As I mentioned earlier, we talked about, again, the policy where now teens can are now putting the phones into the pouches. But I think also schools need to start introducing a time block where it's phone free. So there, what's happening in the schools right now in the US, we're starting to see a trend towards phone-free learning blocks or full bell-to-bell bands. So that means a specific time within the day, within the school day, no phones allowed. It is straight in-person learning from human to human. You could pair it up with SEL or MIL instruction, and it will, and it will also allow children again to be able to listen, have a clear understanding as to, what is happening around them, the many different lessons they get to consume, and more importantly, from a, from a governmental standpoint, these policies are aimed to reduce distraction,
Yes.
and bullying, while raising much needed attention and belonging.
Yes. And it also helps with developing those communication skills that we need so badly right now. So I think it's great. Oh, I just love it. I guess go ahead.
And so I know there's a there's plenty of other subjects that we can that we can learn, but basically on top of everything that I've mentioned, for parents, I also recommend to them to create a family media plan, set where, when, what, with whom, no phone zones, especially during dinner, bedtime, or any family time that the family plans to be together. Revisit it monthly if you need to adjust it. Co-view and co-learn what they can watch, even if it's for 10 minutes. Ask who made this and why. Make sure that when you do that concept, model it based out of curiosity, not integration. And I also I've mentioned about the age-appropriate privacy settings, the apps, so that way you could limit the amount of time kids can go into a particular app or a piece of technology. Strongly recommend, please insert those privacy settings for your children. Keep them updated, and of course, doing a weekly tech check-in every 15 minutes on high or lows online. Offer kids, parents can talk about safety tips, and other key details, and of course, sleep. I'm seeing it now on the iPhones. I'm not sure about the Samsungs, but DND, do not disturb. Please, for all your family, for our parents and for kids, please keep the phones out of the bedrooms. And if the phone has to stay there as an alarm for some reason, put it on do not disturb. Shut all of the apps down at after a specific time, so that way kids and parents can focus again on continue much needed personal time.
I love that. I love that you're incorporating that. It's so important, that wellness part of it is important, and that's part of being responsible. When media is being responsible for what they're creating, that's that thing. Don't forget, those phones need to come down at some point. It's not your third hand. You need to put it down. I love that. Thank you so much. I could take, like you said, there's so many things. And actually, I will invite the audience, so whoever's listening right now, if there's anything that Yesenia just mentioned that you'd like us to elaborate, I'm more than happy to have her back on, and we can go particularly. You mentioned AI earlier, and my ears pricked up. So we'll definitely have you back on in the new year. with a whole soup, but I do invite the listeners just write down in the comments if there's a particular part a point that she mentioned there that you'd like to know more about. I think we could do quite a few episodes with what you've shared with us today. Now, I will put all the information with the app that you talked about and all that. I'll put the information in the description. But where is it that where's the best place for people to get a copy of your book if
So you're able to get a print and digital version of Educational Luminaries on Amazon. So as Danielle mentioned, she will have the link ready and accessible for all viewers. And you can also find me on social media on LinkedIn, whether it's directly at yeseniareynoso.com or through my company page, Y Communicate. And I'm also available on Instagram at Communicate and on my official website, ycommunicate.org.
That's amazing. I'll put all that information because that was going to be my next thing and ask you that. How can we get in touch? You have such a wealth of knowledge, and I think you're really heading in the right direction in terms of what media represents now and where it needs to go and how the general public needs to understand it. I think it's so important. So I do appreciate I could talk to you forever. But before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to mention or share some words of wisdom that the listeners could appreciate?
I think, coming again from the communications world, I definitely think it's a responsibility for us communicators to not only properly educate the public as to what communications truly is all about, from its functions to its execution, but also the ethical standards that go behind it, especially at a very critical time where information is quickly being distorted for malicious purposes. I think it's really important, from an ethical standpoint, that communications not only, is being held, calls the, calls people out, but also we have to be held, we also have to admit accountability as well and figure out the many ways as to how we can change the system from the ground up, because it's going to take a long process. And so as many people start having a better understanding as to the true role of communications, and again, how does media literacy come into play, because they're both intangible and they interconnect with one another, I think ultimately, ultimately communications and media literacy not only need to be in the spotlight, but also we need to figure out the many ways it's for, whether it's for personal, academic, or governmental purposes, it needs to be reintroduced back into the education system, because our children right now are being are seriously affected and not developing the proper critical thinking skills that are needed to properly decipher information. And if we have a well-informed society of critical thinkers, then it will allow us to be able to think and speak more clearly, addressing some of the much needed societal issues that are plaguing our society today and in the future.
Oh, that is so important because, yes, we do need this critical thinking. Problem solving is so important to bring that back. I want to thank you so much. I could keep you on, honestly, I could keep you on so much longer, but I will leave that and we'll definitely have you back on to talk some more because it's such an important topic to start and conversations we need to start having as a general population, even. But I really do appreciate, and I'll invite everybody again to have a look at the description so that they can find your angles or the information where they can contact you to learn more and to get a copy of your book, Educational Luminaries. I think it's a wonderful book to be reading. And thank you so much for the work that you're doing. It is important. This not everybody's the bad guy. There's some good guys out there, and it's nice to be able to talk with you to see the more responsible, the most mature way of handling the information that's being out there. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and I hope everyone has a blessed day.
Great. Wonderful. For everybody watching, don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. Don't forget to go and follow Yesenia as well. And until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.